you don't go along with their agenda. You have to be, we can be friends later. You know what I'm saying? Once you got some sense, once you've grown up and matured, you know, as you get older, now I can talk, you know, I love this period of time with my sons. You know, they're not boys anymore, they're young men. And so the tone that I use with them is not the same tone that I used with them when they were 13, 14 years old. And glory be to God, my wife and I, we can look at our boys and we can see some of the things that we tried to instill in them, we can see them manifesting now. And I praise God for that. So the conversation, the relationship is different. When I talk to them now, I talk to them as young men. You know, I used to give them the kid-friendly version, but they're at the age now, all gloves is off. We talk freely and naturally. I share my mistakes with them, the things that I've done in the past that didn't have a good result. I don't hide that from them. I share it with them. I talk to them about it. Now, this is why I'm advising you not to do this, because when I did it, these were the results. And if you do these, this is going to be the same results for you. But before you get to that level of conversation with them, while they're growing up, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far. Until you get to that, you got to be parents. Young people, you need to realize and understand that you are blessed to have saved parents. And if your parents are saved and they're training you up in the way that you should go, and they're trying to push you in the right direction, I know your flesh don't like it, but you need to thank God for it. You need to be appreciative of it. Amen? Now, back to this scripture. He says, laying aside all malice. If Satan can get you to have malice in your heart, young people, while you're young, it's going to hinder your growth spiritually. Well, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. I received the Holy Ghost when I was a teenager. And even though you have the Holy Ghost at a young age, you still need parenting. Amen? You still need parenting. You still need guidance. God has placed parents in your life to train you in the way that you should go. Amen? And so if you allow malice and guile to develop in your heart, while you're still at the maturing stage, it's going to hinder your growth. And if your growth is hindered, that's going to affect how you receive the word of God when you hear it. If you have malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, if all of that is present in your heart, when you hear the truth of God's word, you'll become resistant to it. You won't appreciate it. You won't even see it as a good thing. You'll want to miss church. Amen. You'll feel the need to go to the bathroom when it's time to hear the word. I mean, how long does it take to use the bathroom? I mean, if you really have to go. Amen. Sometimes if we're not careful, as young people, we'll do everything we can to miss church. Oh, I don't feel good. Yeah, that's a common one. But you never feel bad when it's time to go do something fun. Amen. I'm stepping on a few toes, but I know that to be true. So if you have these things going on in your heart, and let me say, there are some things that young people go through to where they have legitimate reasons to be upset and to be angry. The Bible says anger rests in the bosom of fools. Amen? So there are times when we're young and we become angry about certain things. And if we don't get over those things, that will set a bad precedence in your life. And as you get older, as you physically mature, you can't even receive valuable nuggets that come from your parents or from the word of God or even mentors in your life, because you're dealing with some heart issues that need to be fixed. And if you're not careful, if you don't check this while you're young, you'll find yourself 30, 40 years old, and you still have the same mentality that you had when you were 15. I remember being a kid, and I got one of them whoopings, one of them good old, you know, back then, you know, we got whoopings in a way where you were afraid to call the police. Are you going to call the police? Go ahead and call. You knew not to obey that command. And I remember being a kid thinking, I'm not whooping my kids when I become a parent. I meant it too. I said, I'm not whooping my kids. This is ridiculous. I'm not whooping my kids. But as I grew and as I matured and I began to understand, first of all, I understood that it was a biblical concept. Amen. Now, there are times corporal punishment can be administered wrong and will cause us to feel as kids, oh, I'm not whooping my kids. And whatever you feel like is wrong, especially when it doesn't line up with the word of God, reject that. But the principle of corporal punishment is a biblical principle. Kids need to be corrected. No, you don't go upside their head with a baseball bat. No, you don't break out the iron and burn. No, you don't do that. That is abuse. And let's just be honest, those of us that are African Americans, some of the things that we may have grown up with, it came from our history in this country of slavery. How they keep the slaves in check. They got the whip out. They took their clothes off. That's where some of that came from. They humiliated them. And they beat them. But when they did it, they weren't doing it through love. They weren't doing it through compassion or godly love. It was just to keep the slaves in check. This would go on with adult people as well. So some of that stuff has been adopted in our culture. And so once we realize this, and we need to pray to God, especially when we're looking to get married and we're going to realize one day we're going to be husbands, fathers, mothers, and wives, we need to ask God to renew our mind and regulate our mind to wipe away some of that garbage and baggage that we learned before salvation. Amen. There's some things that took place in my childhood, and I knew, I thank God, I praise God, I don't take credit for this. This ain't nothing but God dealing with me. Before I got married, I knew I didn't have good examples growing up. And I was desirous, first of all, to be saved. I wanted to be saved. And I knew that I would get married one day, and I'm like, Lord, teach me how to be a good husband. Teach me how to be a good father. I know that a lot of the examples I saw growing up were not good, and I know if I mimic them, it's going to cause my wife, my children, the same pain that it caused me. So, Lord, I need to, and that's what people need to do, spend time. Ain't no sense in getting saved and running and jumping and getting married. Take some time to renew your mind. Allow God to renew your mind before you go jumping in a marriage with somebody. You got some old habits and old mentalities that you learned out in the world that you don't need to bring over here in holiness. Because when you do, you're going to cause the same pain that you were caused. So we need to allow God to renew our minds when we come over here. Any anger, any pain, any abuse that you felt as a child, you need to allow that stuff to be uprooted out of your heart before you go attach yourself to somebody and ruin their lives. Can we say amen? Amen. Verse 2. As newborn babes, do what? You know, when a baby first comes in the world, they're not asking for steak. They're not asking for McDonald's. What do they want when they come in this world? And that milk has everything that they need for them to grow and to be healthy. It's nourishment for their bodies. As we get older, we start developing preferences. And most of the time, what we desire is good to us, but it's not good for us. A lot of the things that we desire from a food standpoint are things that will harm us physically. And if we keep doing it over time, it's going to cause health problems for us. Amen. You're able to fight off a lot of that stuff while you're young, but as you get older, your ability to fight that stuff off becomes less and less. Amen. That's why it's good to develop good eating habits and health habits while you're young. Because as you get older, it's harder to break away from what you get used to. Amen. As newborn babes, desire entertainment preachers. No. As newborn babes, desire feel-good messages. No. It says desire the sincere milk of the world so that you can what? So that you can grow. The whole point, young people, is for you to grow. Amen. Even at your young age, you know, there were times when I was a youngster, I thought, well, I don't have to learn that right away. I'm not an adult. I can learn that later. It'll just come by osmosis later on. But no, I needed to learn those principles back then. Because if I had learned those principles back then some of the decisions I made in my youth, I wouldn't have made had I matured properly back then. And so I'm saying, I'm appealing to you young people. You are responsible right now, not your parents. Because when you know better, then God holds you accountable to do the right thing. You are accountable right now to evaluate yourself, examine yourself. Do you have malice in your heart? Do you have some anger in your heart? The scripture doesn't prohibit us from being angry. It says, be angry and sin not. That means that you spend a short time being angry. Because if you stay there, bitterness is going to develop in your heart. And bitterness will become a part of your life. There are things that happen to some of us at an early age, and we never did get over. We never did resolve it. And we think, well, that was way back then. But then what kind of anger are you holding in your heart now that you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old? What personality traits did you develop as a result of that anger being embedded in your heart? And now you can't get along with your spouse good because you're still mad at your mother. You can't get along with your husband because you got daddy issues. Now you're making your husband or your wife pay for things that your parents did. And therefore, it's hard for you to grow spiritually because that stuff has never been dealt with in your heart. It's never been healed. It's never been uprooted. And in order to uproot those things, you have to first acknowledge it. You have to be honest with yourself. Amen? And I'll admit, sometimes being honest with yourself is a hard thing to do. Because sometimes it means reliving that pain. Amen? But if you want to be delivered, if you want your life to be blessed going forward, if you don't want your wife or your husband to experience trouble out of you as a result of what took place in your past, you have a responsibility to go to God and allow him to heal you of those things. You have to address it. You can't say, well, I ain't got no issue. Yes, you do. Even before you get into ministry, before you need to make sure you heal to some things so that you ain't, you know, the last thing I want to do, if a doctor is operating on me, he better not come in that room bleeding. Hello, Mr. Taylor. We're going to sedate you and we're going to put you under and... we're going to have it, so you just relax. And he got a stream of blood coming out of his forehead. No, doc, you need to go get patched up. So, you know what I'm saying? So if you're in a position of ministry, you definitely, because you're going to do more harm than good. Because you're not over your own pain. Amen. I'm telling y'all what I know. So as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Whatever issues you have, young people, today, you want to make sure those things are in check now. Start today. You can't do anything about days past. Those days are behind you. But if you realize where you are and you realize that there are some issues that you need to take care of now, is start working on them now. Go in prayer and ask God to heal you of this. You know, sometimes you may have to go have a conversation with somebody in your past. In some cases, you can't go have a conversation because they've passed on. That don't mean God can't heal you of that situation. Still go unto God. Still acknowledge it. Still ask God to. And listen, you can't get help for the situation if you don't acknowledge it's there. Some of us have experienced things in our past, and it was so horrific, we've kind of convinced ourselves it didn't happen. So we walk around lying to ourselves for years. And we're carrying this pain. And this pain that we're carrying, spiritually, we're limping. And we've gotten used to limping. You're not supposed to limp spiritually. Amen. God wants us healed. But you have to deal with these things while you're young, young people. Trust me, it's going to save you a lot of trouble down the road. It's going to save your children a lot of trouble. It's going to save your grandchildren. Because when you're not healed of these things, guess what? You pass them on. And then your kids pass them on. And then your kids pass them on. The responsibility is on each. And this isn't just for young people. It's on all of us. We have whatever happened in the past that was detrimental to future generations, it is upon you. It is incumbent upon you to break the cycle. You can't change what your mother or your father did, but you can change some things. You know, what is it going on in your life that's causing a problem for your children or for your wife or your husband? We have the responsibility to deal with that. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And starting at the 10th verse. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. God does not want us to be weak. Amen. If you don't deal with these issues earlier in your life, how can you grow? And if you're not growing, how are you going to be strong? So the scripture is commanding us to be strong. Do whatever it takes in order for you to be strong, he says, and in the power of his might. You can't do it on your own. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the power of God for you to deal with the struggles and the issues of life. Next verse. Read. Put on the entire armor of God that you may be able to do what? Against the trickery of the devil. Again, I told you in the onset, the devil is your enemy. Whether you want him to be or not, he is your enemy. And his job is to bring as many to hell as possible. His job is to cause problems on earth for as many as possible. And he does this through trickery. That's how he got Eve, through trickery. He tricked her. The word of God comes to give us truth and show us the difference between the truth and the lie. But if our ability to receive the sincere milk of the word of God is hindered because we're holding malice and guile and hypocrisy, oh, I didn't talk about the hypocrisy. Amen. We have to be careful not to become professional hypocrites, even in our early age. The generation before, well, probably my generation, and probably the generation before, you know, those that had saved parents. I've heard stories of where they had parents that promoted holy living and modesty and holy dressing. And maybe the daughters didn't appreciate that much. So when they left for school, they were dressed modest and holy. but they had their costume in their purse. And once they left home, they made it to the bathroom and had a makeover. Then they went to school. Then when it was time to come home, they go in the bathroom again or go in the phone booth like Superman and change back into Clark Kent. And come home, and they come to church on Sunday shouting and speaking in tongues. And that's hypocrisy. That is straight up hypocrisy. And if some of us don't get over that, we'll say things like, well, when I become a parent, I'm not going to put this on my kids. Because I don't want my kids to feel about me the way I feel about my parents. And what I've seen over my lifetime, it seems like every generation loosens up on their kids. Every generation feels like their parents were too hard. So they lighten up. Then they have kids, and then your kids feel like you were too hard. So they lighten up on their kids. And now we live in a society where people are arguing over whether there's more than two genders or not. Spare not the rod. The rod of correction shall drive it far from foolishness. Is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So over the years, people have spared the rod. They didn't apply the rod of correction. I ain't talking about the rod of abuse. I'm talking about the rod of correction. And now people are afraid to chastise their children. It's not against the law. It's moving that way, but it's not against the law yet. But they've applied enough pressure and enough intimidation to cause people to be afraid to correct their children. And when you don't correct your children, guess what festers in their heart? Foolishness. And that's why we live in a foolish society now. We live in a society that doesn't seem to understand that killing unborn children is a gross sin. You got people that actually think that killing a baby in the womb is a form of contraception. No, it's murder. It's so bad now that we live in a day now where even making the statement I just made is controversial, even in church. Truth shouldn't be controversial in church. If I went to a gay parade and started saying what I'm saying now, I could see that being controversial. But certainly what I'm saying shouldn't be controversial in church. It should be nothing but amens. You're certainly not hearing this on your television. You're not hearing this in the movies. You're not hearing, no. So if we can't come to church and hear the truth, then where are we going to hear it? I didn't come to entertain anybody tonight. I just came to spit facts. Amen. Next verse. For we wrestle not, we've heard this, right? Against what? We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against each other. Brother so-and-so did me wrong. You know, the Bible tells us to forbear with one another, to forgive one another, because there's going to be some times where we're going to offend each other. We shouldn't be seeking to offend each other. But the fact of the matter is there are going to be times where we offend each other. And so the Bible tells us, he says, I want you to love one another the way I've loved you. We should have a forgiving heart, a forgiving mind, a forgiving spirit toward our brothers and sisters. Not, well, I can forgive you, but I ain't got to have nothing to do with you. That ain't forgiveness. Oh, yeah. Ooh, let me stay there. That's a nerve right there. I can tell in the spirit. That was a nerve. Some of us think that we can just disassociate ourselves with our brothers and sisters and still be saved. That's a lie from the pit. The Bible says if you have an ought with somebody, go to your brother and be reconciled to your brother. Well, I ain't going to be reconciled because they already showed me what they're about. If they repented, that's not what they're about. How dare you hold to somebody to something that they say they repented of? And then the Bible says, if they do it again, forgive, and they say, I repent, he says, forgive them again. Ooh, this is getting hot now. So let's start there. We're not wrestling against each other. You and I, we're not the enemy. Our true enemy is Satan. And that's one of the tricks Satan uses. He would rather us focus on the indiscretions of each other rather than focus on him as an enemy. And if I said something to you out of the way 5 years ago, and 5 years ago you decided, I ain't fooling with him no more. Did you try coming to me? Maybe I didn't know what I said was offensive. Maybe I was oblivious. But maybe if you come to me, but you don't talk to your friends about it. You don't talk to other saints about what I said to you that rubbed you the wrong way. And you've offered your opinion about me with other people, but you didn't come to me. In a spirit of wanting to reconcile with your brother. Because if I am in error, if you love me, why would you leave me in that state? At least make me aware. At least allow me the opportunity to answer for myself. At least allow me to be able to say, well, I didn't know I did that, brother. Or that wasn't my intention. Or, brother, you know what? You're right. I repent. I was wrong. Now Satan can't work in that relationship no more. Amen. But don't be, if somebody offends you, don't become guilty of backbiting and going and spread it with other people. I don't like that individual, and I want my group over here not to like him either. So let me tell them what he did. Now they looking at that same, and haven't even interacted with them, but they got a problem with it based on what, that's backbiting. I love exposing Satan. He says, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of dark. Do you realize Satan's kingdom is like organized? It's organized. And he's very cunning, and he knows what buttons to push. He knows he has something to work with our flesh. Because our flesh make it really easy for him to do his thing. That's why the Bible tells you don't walk in your flesh. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. In our government. There's spiritual wickedness going on. There are people who are lawmakers. Who are making laws that is anti-God. That is going to affect your life. Some of us have taken a position over the years to just kind of close our eyes and, this world ain't my home. And then we don't get involved. You know, there are countries that don't have a choice in who their elected officials are. We happen to live in America. We happen to have a choice. Now, I'm 51 years old, I've never seen a ballot with Jesus on it. Amen. So whoever we're voting for, we know it's going to be less than Jesus. But if somebody is telling you, I'm going to defy all the order of God. If they're going to advocate for the things that you know are against scripture. And maybe the other candidate is not. I mean, you do have a choice. Amen. Now, it's your choice of whether or not you want to get involved or not. But I'm just saying, we do have a choice. And then, whoever gets in office, whether it's the one you voted for or not, the Bible tells us to pray for them. Why? So that we can live peaceful lives. Because if we let them do whatever they want to do unchecked, it's going to cause a problem for the church. And whether you know it or not, they're coming for the church. They're coming for the institution of the church. Many are going to fall by the wayside because the first thing that they're going to attack is the tax exemptions that are afforded to the church. And when they begin to do that, the hope is that people will stop giving to the church. They want to dry up the funds of the church. So the church is going to have to stand on principle. Even if they take those things from us, we still going to be the church. We still going to support the church. If I don't get a tax deduction, I'm still going to support the church. I'm still going to support the work of God. These are things that are coming. And maybe they're not here yet, but we see them coming. We see it progressing. And then you got people that are reproducing that are not godly people. They're producing other ungodly people. While we as saints, we seem reluctant to reproduce. We're going in the opposite direction. The world is multiplying and we're decreasing. I thank God for people like the Chambers, Sister Micah and Elder Chambers, how they've opened up their home and been open to adoption. If they were not willing, who knows where those children would be? Who knows how they would be being raised? Thank God they're in a godly environment learning the principles of God. Glory to God. I didn't know I was going to go down that road. Amen. Verse 13. Wherefore? Yes. Stand. I'm sorry, to 14. Stand therefore. Stop. Truth. 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 We see what's happening in society. People are losing their ability to discern the difference between the lie and the truth. Some of us are too addicted to what the media has to say. Some of us are upset as a result of things they've heard the media say. And the media has already proven that it's a liar. And some of us have gotten all hot and bothered and upset over what the media said, and what they said wasn't even true. But if you already got malice in your heart anyway, see, a lie will appeal to that. Amen. A big thing for us black folks is the racism thing. Some of us can't, as soon as we hear the word racism, we can't think straight. We can't tell the difference between right and wrong. Why? Because we have a predisposition to be angry over racism. And all logic goes out the door because we got some issues in our heart. I'll keep going. Having the breastplate of what? Satan gets a lot of us tripped up because we just simply have not committed to a lifestyle of righteousness. Amen? We're supposed to be living holy. Holiness is still right. You hear more, less and less preachers talk about holiness today. But holiness is still a thing. God expects holiness out of us. We're supposed to be living righteous lives. But what the enemy does is cause us to yield to sin, and now we can't stand for true holiness like we ought to because we know we haven't lived right. He's an accuser of the brethren. Now, you don't want to speak against certain sins because you've committed the same sins yourself. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Again, as I told you earlier, I shared there are some mistakes and bad decisions. They weren't mistakes. They were bad decisions that I made early in life. And I'm very honest with my children about those things. Yeah, I did it, but this was the result. That's why you shouldn't do it. You could do it if you want to. That's on you, but you can't say you weren't told. Amen. That's what we got to do. We can't allow Satan to use our past indiscretions to cause us not to push forth truth going forward. Amen. The breastplate of unrighteousness, next verse. And you and your feet shod with what? Of the gospel of peace. The Bible tells us to follow peace with all men. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible tells us as much as that lieth within us, we should follow peace. Amen. It said, if it be possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes people are determined not to be peaceful with you. Now, don't escalate it. Amen. Do everything you can to escalate it, but stand on what's true. Some people will have a problem with you just because you stand on truth. You got to be okay with that, young people. You got to be okay. Don't allow it, young people, don't allow people to make fun of you because you're still a virgin. Oh, man, you still a virgin, man. You ain't had. Shut up. Just because you ruined it for yourself don't mean I got to ruin it for me. You remember when we was kids and maybe you had several pops or maybe you had a bag of chips and somebody asked for your bag of chips. And what we say, I haven't opened it yet. You know, just being petty, I ain't opened it yet. So they're placing value over things that have not been opened. So young people, if you haven't opened yours yet, leave it closed. It is for, young ladies, it's for your husband. Young men, it's for your wife to open. And if you open it ahead of time, you've robbed your future wife or husband the right and the pleasure of opening it. Y'all see how nice I said that? Everybody know what I'm talking about, right? Y'all see how I said that real nice, didn't I? Well, Elder, what if I've already opened it? Keep the mouths low on your speedometer. I've already opened it. I got low mouths. Keep the mouths low. Amen? You know, when you buy a car, and let's say the car is 10 years old, but it only has 50,000 miles on it, you think that's a good deal, don't you? Wow, 10 years, only 50,000 miles? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Young people, don't allow the enemy to use, well, I've already opened, I've already messed up. Don't allow the enemy to use that to push you into a life of promiscuity. If you've fallen, get up. God will forgive you, repent, and walk upright before him. Walk in the newness of life. This is just good stuff, right? Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall what? There's going to be some fiery darts that come at you in life. And you're going to feel these darts, but if you have the shield of faith, those darts can be quenched. There's some hard things you're going to have to deal with in life. There's some things, there's some trouble that's going to come your way, young people. Some of the trouble are going to be things that your parents never encountered. That's why it's so important for you to be strong in the faith, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's some things your parents are not going to be able to help you with. Some things are only going to have to come from God. And it's your responsibility to gain a relationship with God so that you can stand against the trickery of the devil. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Verse 17. And take ye on the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God. We have to value the word of God. If I had a mind to come in and entertain you and make you feel good, yeah, you're shouting, you feel good, you're running, but what did you receive that's going to cause you to walk with God during the week? What entered into your heart through the word of God that's going to allow you to give you strength in the evil day when temptation comes to you? That shout don't mean nothing when you're being tempted. That shout don't mean nothing when your flesh is begging for you to yield. The devil made me do it. No, that's your flesh. Young people, you got a flesh, your flesh to contend with. Amen. Along with outside forces that are trying to trip you up. But your own flesh, that's why you can't trust your flesh. The Bible says make no provisions for yourself. Don't put yourself in situations where you might fall. Oh, I ain't going to do nothing. Please. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't make provisions for your flesh. Your flesh is not saved. It is not to be trusted. You know, sometimes kids get a problem with their parents. Well, don't you trust me? I don't trust me. Why would I trust you? Why would I trust your young 20-year-old flesh? Amen. But this is real. So, no. And we have to, it's all about living right. Verse 18, praying always with the prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Go to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 12. Read. That's our theme tonight, right? We're fighting the good fight of faith. We're in a war, right? Y'all just marched around the church. Y'all said, this means war, right? Whether you want to be in a war or not, you are in one. Whether you want to fight or not, your other alternative is to curl up in the fetal position and just let the devil beat you down. But my Bible tells me, resist the devil, fight him back, and he'll flee from you. Because he realized that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You just need to realize that. So fight him back. Lay hold on eternal life. This is why you fight for your faith. Eternal life, that's the whole goal, right? Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You done professed this before many witnesses. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't come to church on Sunday and look the par, act the par, but as soon as you leave the parking lot, you're doing what you want to do, thinking don't nobody see you. Your parents might not see you, the saints might not see you, but God sees you. And if Christ cracked the sky, you are not flying. Amen? It's what this is all about. It's about the fight. You got to fight for your faith. Satan is trying to wrestle it away from you every chance he gets. So you have to be determined to hold on to your faith. You got to be determined to fight for what's right. You can't be afraid of standing for what's right in your generation. Let me tell you something else, young people. There are atheists out there who are highly skilled at debating. You have atheists that are very, very intelligent, even though they're fools. Bible says, a man saith in his heart, there is no God. He's a fool, right? But there are those that are very cunning and very intelligent when it comes to debating. And they begin to come to you and question you about the validity of the Bible. They're coming hard at you. But if you sleep every Bible study and missing Bible study and don't read your body Bible, don't study the Word of God for yourself, you won't even be able to match up with that atheist. There are atheists that are even very familiar with passages of Scripture. And they know how to use those scriptures to trip you up. But because you haven't prepared yourself with the gospel of peace, or because you got malice and guile and hypocrisy and all this wicked stuff in your heart and you haven't grown, you can't even deal with them. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer for why we believe what we believe. So you have to take responsibility for yourself, young people, to grow yourself in the Word of God, have a good understanding of the Word of God. Amen. You be careful. They might throw a question out there and now you done walked away from the conversation and now that question is in your mind. And before you know it, you're entertaining things that are not godly. Cause you to fall by the wayside. Amen. Is this good stuff? I'm done. You know. I thank God for our young people. As I begin to sit in my seat and listen to the different young people testify, my heart was overjoyed because I know that Satan doesn't have all the young people. And even our young people that are dealing with things, they have a desire to walk with God. You can tell that some of them are already fighting. This fight that we're talking about, they're already fighting. And so our job is to continue to encourage our young people, pray for our young people. Amen. Because they are, as Elder White said earlier, this is their time. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Is there anybody here who is not saved? Amen. Who needs salvation tonight? Amen.